Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts, Ralph Sutton and Big J Oakerson on the glorious SDR show. And Jay.
Glory.
Glory. I'm so excited that we got this dude on calling all the way from Australia. It is Andrew Stockdale from Wolf Mother. Cool fucking dude.
Very cool dude. Very fun interview.
Yeah. He liked
you. Didn't make it.
You almost didn't make it. We were freaking out about timing, but it all worked out. He performs live one of Jay's favorite or his favorite Wolf Mother song. Fair enough, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And just really cool dude. We do the show live every Wednesday, every Saturday. You go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, get 20% off the entire network, or listen anywhere you want to listen. Check us out on YouTube. We're just happy that you're a part of the show. And here it is right now, the Andrew Stockdale version of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far. You need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again. Loving his new hairdo. It is Big J Oakerson. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Yeah, and also in the new room with the new microphone, all that stuff is great. I'm very happy to have you and Shannon with us as well. And the beard's getting longer, Jay, huh? Is there a
just
plan? Kind of,
just trimmed it. But
maybe just because it's trimmed, it looks more symmetrical, making it appear longer.
Maybe.
Is that the length you're keeping?
Yes. Okay. I'm comfortable with this length.
Good enough.
Sorry, and now, this is our beard chat segment.
Yeah, Andrew,
I see you've gone with the clean shaving. Talk to me about that a little bit.
So this is a one-day scruff that I don't think shows up on camera. But
no.
Okay, so now, so happy to have this dude on. Coming in from Australia, singer-songwriter, lead vocalist, guitarist of Wolf Mother, has a couple of solo albums as well. Really excited to have him on. It is Andrew Stockdale. How are you, buddy?
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Yeah, great. Glad to be on the show.
You got a good setup there with the guitars in the background. It looks like you're in your studio. Is that right?
Yeah, this is my home studio. I bought a whole load of soundproofing foam, as you can see here.
All right, good. It looks good. You look very comfortable. So let me ask you this off the top. Whenever I have someone on the show, fans of the show know I do like to go really into a deep dive on the person. And putting the Wolf Mother catalog, I believe it's 4 or 5 records on one side. Then there's the solo Andrew Stockdale stuff, right? And the weird thing is there is an album called Keep Moving that came out in 2013, but on Spotify, it says comes out in 2020. Did you re-release a remix of it or is it just a mistake on Spotify?
It should be up there.
It is up there, but it says the release date was 2020, not 2013.
Okay. I parted ways with my record label. They gave me back the masters.
Mm-hmm.
I left it on my computer for 8 years.
Really? It sat there for 8 years, and that's what you finally put it on Spotify.
That's right. I took the computer into the shop and they started it up. They put it on a hard drive and I uploaded it early.
Oh. You were a longer holdout than Tool.
That's really cool. All right. So I wanted to start with telling you my intro to Wolf Mother. We're going back, I think, 2005, 2006. And Jay is going to fucking hate this story. And that's why I'm so proud to tell this story.
Oh, shit.
There was a band for a while in New that was on a TV show called Damocracy, which featured Sebastian Bach, Evan Seinfeld, Ted Nugent, and Jason Bonham.
They're called Savage Animal, dude.
Savage Animal. That was the idea they wanted.
Savage Animal.
Yeah. And
was the manager, wasn't he?
Who was?
Doc Neeson was the manager?
Oh, yeah. That's right, too. Yeah, that's correct. And I had interviewed them in the city, and at that time, I was somewhat friendly with Jason Bonham. right?
Yeah.
This is what Jason gonna hate it. So Jason said to me after the interview, let's go get some food. And we got into his limo to go somewhere to get some food, right? Yeah. And we're in the car and a song comes on the radio and it was Wolf Mother's Woman.
Yeah.
And he says to me, oh, this is that band that reminds me of my dad's band.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, if anyone else said that, I wouldn't listen, but it's you saying it. So I'm going to listen to this band. And it was the first time I heard Wolf Mother was Woman in the Car with Jason Bonham.
Wow.
That's my story, Jay. How much do you hate that story?
Well, it's a lovely story if any of that ever happened.
Shannon, do you have my picture with them? This is me with them.
Wait,
go back to where you just were.
Wait, hold on. I don't know what happened.
I saw it for a second.
One second.
Oh, I saw it too, Ralph. I get it. You got a picture with them. Where's the picture of you showing your titties out of the top of the limo sunroof?
But why
where's
would
the pictures
I take
of you guys? Where's the... it's just, it's made up. Everything's real until you got to that limo.
No.
Just tell Andrew you like him. You don't got to make up a whole thing.
Look, look how cool we are all hanging out there. We're friends. We're buddies.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sebastian Bach. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
I performed at Bonnaroo in 2013, and Robert Plant and his new band was there playing some Zeppelin songs. And backstage, he told me that Andrew Stockstill and Wolfmother are the next Led Zeppelin. That's what he told me that personally.
Yeah. So, Andrew, that leads me to the question. I'm sure.
Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you, we were on a private helicopter, Robert. We were in his helicopter.
All right. So, Andrew, I'm sure. You get sick of it all the time because for some reason in the music world, people always want to compare bands to bands. Oh, this sounds like that, or this is like that, as opposed to just saying Wolf Mother sounds like Wolf Mother. Does it drive you crazy?
It's just part of the gig, I guess. You know, if you play rock and roll, you're going to sound like someone else. But, you know, I do think that we have developed our own sound. You know, people kind of say, oh, you know, that sounds like Wolf Mother.
You did develop your own sound, dude. And I'm telling you, I get this as a comic, that's been a lot too. You sound like this guy who's like a mentor or somebody you look up to. I used to get with Dave Attell a ton. I still do. But Ralph, I like your interview method where you do the thing that you're pretty sure annoys him and then go, dude, John Bonham even told me you sound so much like Led Zeppelin. Does that annoy the shit out of you? What a weird way to approach that question, Ralph.
Well, I wanted to get the story in because I knew you would hate that story, and that was the only way I could segue over to it.
Fables.
Oh, we got recommended by, you know, rock royalty. I think that's pretty.
Yeah, great. I mean, that is a good thing. Jason Bonham, you're not hearing it from some stupid internet troll. You're hearing it from the horse's mouth. Or the
no, he's not, Ralph.
Mouth.
No, he's not, Ralph. He's hearing it from you, who said you took a limo ride, a fictitious limo ride with him, and he said that. You're not hearing it from Jason Bonham, you son of a bitch.
Oh, you are. I'll call him right now. No, I don't have his number anymore.
I know you don't. You never did.
All right, so let me ask you. I have a bunch of questions for you, sir. First, the most obvious one. I looked online for this answer. I really couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah. Where did the name come from? What does it even mean, Wolf Mother? That's the first question.
That's the question that really gets to me.
Is it really? Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've had I've been asleep in the bunk in a bus, like on tour for weeks and weeks. And the tour manager's like handed me the phone in the bunk, like, you know, those dark bunks.
Sure.
Like someone in Europe going, so tell me, where did you come up with the name Wolf Mother? I'm like,
oh. Yeah, well, it's just an obvious question. It's such a cool sounding name. And it sounds like it means something.
Okay. The bass player came up, Chris Ross, came up with the name. He suggested it. It was from a book called Skinny Legs and All, a Tom Robbins book.
Okay.
He suggested the name to myself and the drummer, Miles Heskett, about 2 months before we were doing our first gig. And we were like, hell no. That name sucks. No way. So, and then we rock up to the first gig. And they were like, have you got any other band names that you want to suggest? And I was like, not. And go, do you mind if we write Wolf Mother up on the board? I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Put it up there. Do the gig, come off the stage. Straight after that, it's like, hey, you're the dude from Wolf Mother.
Nice.
So set in stone at that point. That's great. I really love it. Also, in doing the research, I'm sorry.
so I can take no credit for the next.
Fair enough. I was watching this thing. I didn't know who this other guy was, but apparently he's a big deal in Australia. A guy named Pete Murray, where you did like these acoustic sessions with him, and heard the Bee Gees-esque version of Woman, which blew me away. It was such a different vibe, and that was the original way you wrote the song, I guess.
Yeah, I had that song since about 1999 in that form, and then I left it there for about 5 years, and then I thought I'll do that with electric guitar with more of a riff kind of bass thing. And yeah, I just appropriated it into a kind of rock song.
It's funny because it sounded like when you were playing it, I didn't even recognize it until you started the vocals. And it just was, it's just such a great a way to see how a song could morph into what it morphed into, which is amazing. So yeah. You have, as I said, a few solo records and a few, I think five Wolf Mother records, but you are the consistent factor of both. How do you decide? I think it was back in 2012 or 2013 where you thought no more Wolf Mother, but then a new album came out. Like, how do you decide what's going to be? I'm writing a song. This is an Andrew song. This is a Wolf Mother song.
I don't actually know how that happens. I think sometimes I just think if I put it out as Andrew Stockdale, then I have license to do whatever I want. Like, there's no expectation. Like, on the first record, after, there's fans who are, if it's not as good as Woman and Joker, they just destroy you. So there's a lot of pressure, you know, when I put Wolf Mother on it. And sometimes I just like getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the reason.
I have a question on the because I say I think we have a common friend. I'm not sure how in touch with those guys you are still, but the crossover between you, I'm good friends with Steve O. So I know the Jackass guy, you and the Jackass guys, like really had that crossover with Joker and the Thief that was so cool. It's even like the music video was like them introducing you and them all through that. Such a, what brought that kind of like that meeting together?
Once again, I had nothing to do with that. I used to like Wild Boys. I watched that on the tour of us. But our manager just put it together. And you know, we did so much touring in 2006. Joker and the Thief was the sixth single off that record.
Wow.
They didn't know what to do. Like, they were jamming ideas. Like, what should we put out? And they're like, oh, try this Joker one. And so we got back to Australia from like touring Europe and America and everywhere. And those guys rocked up at one of our shows, like, and we made the video, as you know, if you've seen the video, we just made it at the gig and they rocked up.
That's completely. So cool. Now, let me ask you this. After that first record, because it was so big.
Yeah.
Then you were supposed to record a second record and you and the band couldn't agree on where the direction was and you split. Is that basically what happened?
Couldn't agree. It was all, I think they wanted to have Chris wanted to have it 2 years off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might have taken a year off or something, but and then we were kind of like, we gave it a shot. You know, we went back into the studio and I'd written a bunch of songs and we jammed it in the studio for about a month. And then, Chris walked out one day. Actually, we had this, we were playing this song called Far Away, which is on the second record. And we mm-hmm. played that. And the manager and the record label, like, this is a freaking hit, man. They were like really excited about it. He walked out.
Really? Is it because he didn't want to? Because I would imagine you're all from Australia, not from like the major city either, I believe. Coming into America, exploding, it had to be a lot to take in, right? Was it scary? Was it, I mean, how did you feel? I don't even know how old you were when you first came here. Was it your first time in America touring with Wolf Mother?
I went to New York when I was about 22 for a holiday for like a month and stayed at a backpackers up near Harlem. That was pretty terrible. Like 18 people in a room. But that was pretty much it. That was my education in touring, you know. So by the time I went there, I was like with a band, and you got a room and a bus. It's just like, or two people to a room instead of 18. I was like, this is luxury. So that was my experience. But yeah, of course. Come on, who's used to playing in front of like?
But not only that, you were from a small town in Australia, right? You weren't from Melbourne.
I was living in Sydney. I'm from Brisbane, which is about 7 million population.
Oh, not so bad then. Okay. I just always think there's 9 people living in Australia. That's why.
You got to go there. I had a chance. I had an opportunity to play the Sydney Opera House doing stand-up for yeah. Just for Laughs Festival maybe 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. And it was pretty amazing. Yeah, me and Jeff Ross went down to Bondi Beach.
Yeah.
And we were just, again, it was so like, we were such Americans, like we were so blown away with children, like 13-year-old boys not being the least bit blown away or staring at all the topless. It's topless. So like the women were all topless, and just like 11-12-year-old boys just making sandcastles, not even giving a shit at all. I'm like, man, I'd be smacked in the face all day for staring at tits. I was doing it as an adult. Forget being 13.
Still doing it to this day. But Chad,
We were doing it.
I want you to take a clip of where Jay says we were blown away by 13-year-old boys and just stop it at that point. If that will be the clip.
If you could.
Good for the show.
Probably remains the story.
All right, before we go any further,
yes.
Fans of the show who are over 21.
Yes, you must be legal age.
I've got something you are going to love, and that is, I thought you were going to say your same, right? That is EmpireDirect.com.
Yes, the Empire.
Why are you going to love this? Well, they can legally sell you Delta HTHC in 42 states.
Yes, totally legal. Fuck you, pigs.
And EmpireDirect is priced to keep you high.
Super fucked up.
The promo code GASDABS gets you $5 off all of their products.
Oh, inside stoner talk.
You can get Delta HTHC distillate syringes for dabbing.
Yes,
for
if you want to feel like a junkie, you can buy the syringes.
Delta 8 gummies for $15.
If you're a child, perhaps.
1 gram of Delta 8 dab diamonds for $15.
That's for the Jews, and what a deal.
Again, it is EmpireDirect.com.
Yes, yes.
It is gas dabs. Is the promo code for $5 off anything on your order.
15 spot. Don't be cheap, you faggot.
And right now, if you go to their site, you can enter for a chance to win a $999 dab rig. Not $1,000. Yes. It's a $999
Because the Empire rig. Takes his vig of $1 per dab rig.
The Empire needs a better business model, I think, if he's taking $1.
It's a royalty deal. I learned it from Mr. Wonderful.
Go to EmpireDirect.com.
Yes.
Click on the link in the description. You can go there that as well. Yes. And gas dab is $5 off your order.
$5 off your entire order.
Let's get back into it. So what I've noticed in the last couple of years, and I guess technology helps with this, is that you're putting out like a single here, a single there. That song Chase the Feeling with Chris from Jet, I fucking love that song. It's great. And it seems like you're putting out songs as opposed to a record. Is that the new, that how the plan you're going forward? Or is there a new plan in the world of Andrew?
I've got a record which I've recorded in this room that I could put out. I'm talking to record label. Well, I've talked to one record label who offered me a deal, and you look at it and you go like, oh, 5 years licensing and this and that. And you go, I could just upload it from my laptop.
Right.
And I'm not accountable to anyone. Like, I'm not going to have to pay him back this money and it is kind of, addictive once you have that freedom. You sort of don't want to be restricted by a label. Like, back in the day, they'd say, we need 8 months to set up this record. We're going to ship the CDs down to them, and then it's going to be in all the shops. And now it's like, man, it's up on Spotify. And
it's over. And the money's in touring anyway. So the music at this essentially becomes promotion for live shows anyway now.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be go out on the road to promote the record. Now it's like put out a record so you can go out on the road.
Yeah, it's really wild. It's a 180. That's really crazy. Yeah, I saw you.
There's no money. There's no money in the physical product anymore.
No, why would there? There's no reason.
Yeah. You got to sell hoodies and
albums. I know. I read this a statistic this week that shocked me. I mean, it didn't shock me. It's obvious, but physical albums, like you know, records, outsell CDs now like 5 to 1. But of course, who owns a CD player anymore? But people are buying albums, which is amazing.
Retro, yeah,
because it's a cool thing to have now is to have the album.
But I mean. But it's kind of self-indulgent, isn't it, to have like a wall full of vinyl and just like to sit there and go, oh, I really love the audio quality of the vinyl. And it's just like.
It's pretentious horse shit.
Yeah, you can really like hipster cafes and they've got the vinyl and they've got the, you know, the big speakers and and they've just got their phones. Freaking right. Jack.
Well, it actually leads into what I saw you talking about on Instagram, where you say that recordings in general are overrated. It's the song that matters more than anything.
Well, you know, I've always thought, you know, if we're doing a gig tonight, you need a good song for a band to play to, you know,
right.
Make it a decent gig. That's all it's about, you know, writing the song. Like, I mean, of course, recording, look, is like, you know, what are the Grammys about? That's about recordings. Like, what is, you know, recordings are held up, but who cares? Like, I mean, gigs are where it's at. I mean, look at us now. You know, you do a live gig and you see like a bunch of comments going, that was good, that sucked, or that was good, and you're like, man, it's just like
Well, it doesn't seem like Wolf Mother puts like much effect in the music as far as like I was listening to some stuff earlier today and I was like, man, this is such a studio, you know, it's a rock song, I forget what it was. But yeah. It was like the voice doubling and the, you know, the voice layovers and all these effects that like it's going to fall apart like live if it's not like really, you know, if you're not recording it as like raw as possible. Do you guys seem to use a lot of effects? Seems like you can recreate everything in your recordings live pretty easy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is a rock band, guitar, bass, drums, vocal, maybe backing vocals. And it's the, you know, it's that never-ending formula that lyrics and melody and solos and that dynamic that keeps you interested.
But wouldn't you say that High on My Own Supply, your newest song, is almost like EDM-esque? It's like dancey a little bit. It's like got some electronic sound to it.
What I did was I thought I just wrote that song like it's like a grunge kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this app called Fiverr, and I emailed I Dropboxed the vocal to this guy in Morocco for $300, and I said, could you make a EDM synth?
Really? That's what you did?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. And
that's
he sent
awesome.
that whole thing. And you're the first person I've told this, because I just wanted to let it go.
That's fucking great. That is one of the coolest stories I've ever heard.
Just a guy on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Did you even look at his reviews, or you just picked someone random?
This is someone random, like, you know. Yeah, Dropbox it. He sent that back 3 days later, and that's what I'm doing.
I fucking that's love that great. Story. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. That's
Ralph
great.
Used to do all of our promotion on Fiverr. At
yeah,
one
that's
point,
true. I did. Fiverr. I love Fiverr.
And I got the video made by some other guy in Israel for like $30. Have you seen the video?
I didn't see the video yet. No, I did not see the video.
Were they both fans also? Because like you could fan source so many things now too, which is amazing. There's fans that are so ready to just do things like that.
Get the fans to work for you for nothing.
I mean, what's funny? How much they just do it like on their own? They'll do it on their own anyway. You know what I mean? Like I was on YouTube the other day, like. You guys have a bunch of fan-made videos for songs, which is amazing. That's such a cool thing that someone takes the time for that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's better than someone that you'd pay, you know, whatever amount to do it, and they're more invested in the band. They love the band. They love the music.
Yeah, it also makes you look at the person who tells you how hard the work is. You're like, well, is it? Because this dude in fucking Iowa just did it for $15.
I have the video if you want to watch a little bit of it.
Yeah, play it up for a second. I'd love to see it. See, $30 gets you on Fiverr.
It's up to 10,000 views, and I just thought, all these lifestyle videos of people doing backflips and skateboard. I just said, can you do this lifestyle thing and put all this stock footage together? So,
yeah, I don't wanna get addicted. Oh, so it's like a vocal, a lyric video with various lifestyle stuff. Yeah. Don't play too much of it, Shannon, because we'll get flagged on YouTube. You can stop it.
Yeah, I'll be covered.
Yeah, that's cool.
All stock footage that this guy could put together.
That's so cool. I think that's great. How much did it cost?
$30. I'm not sure. Maybe it was $100 because I got him to change it a few times.
And again, something before the record company would say they had to recoup from you because they spent $1 million on the video or whatever.
Yeah, and recoup off your royalty rate, which is like, 30 cents out of $1 CD against that $100,000 video.
And then it could versus $30. It's really crazy. I love that you're doing that because that's the world we live in these days. I think too many artists are still stuck in that label mentality and that we need big production, we need a big studio, and you just don't anymore. I use our studios for Gas Digital as an example. Like when we first started, we were told to build like this, an HD camera studio was going to cost $500,000. And it's because I was talking to old school studio people. And I just went on the internet and figured out how to do it. For the first studio we built cost a few thousand dollars.
Some staggering number of like awards won the last few years, like music awards, have been off like people that started on SoundCloud and stuff.
Yeah. And there's videos being recorded on iPhones constantly.
It's mostly hip hop stuff, I guess, but like it's still amazing that just gets out there with no ownership to a label or no one breathing down your neck at all.
That's it. Like I'm just contemplating, like, it's great to talk to you about this because, like, we've been touring without roadies and amps for about 3 years now.
Wow.
We literally, like, we played at the Irving Plaza, like, last year. Oh, actually, we had one roadie, our sound guy who lives in Brooklyn, Alex Ray, who's a good bloke. He did the sound, but otherwise, I think I mean, do you want to see the amp that I use?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what you bring?
Wow.
Jesus Christ. That's great.
So we back in the day, like we did, we used to have like, 13 crew. I'd have two or three Marshall stacks, three AC30s, tour manager, five crew, a trailer on the back of the bus. And the crew would like high five after they've loaded the trailer. They're covered in sweat, having a knockoff beer. I'm like, that's taken like a third of the money, What?
Yeah, right.
Like I've literally, so I just thought this.
Let me ask you a question, Andrew. When you bring that onto the bus, do you high five yourself?
I say, we're getting, we're getting a $300 bottle of wine tonight.
Ralph, on the I think it was Mayhem Fest that I was on. I know when Korn was headlining that one. The first three shows of the tour, they had like their album was called Oildale, or their single was called that. So they had these two big oil rigs on stage that were like, going up and down. Uh-huh. And they had like pyro that would go up in them. And just talking to their their monitor guy every day, like one day they just weren't there anymore. And we go, what's happening to the oil rigs? And they go, dude, it was too expensive. Like, and the crowd didn't seem to care that much. So you put all this like, and I was like, yeah, but who cares? I'm like, if it's just a stage set, he goes, oh no. He goes, that all comes out of the tour's money. It's like their money. They have to pay for that stage performance. And I'm like, oh, then fuck that.
And we like back on the first record, we played Brixton Academy in London, that's like 5,000 people, like all these shows around Europe. I found the tour budget on the floor because I never looked at it. Like back, I was just like, man, we've made it. We're touring. Yeah. I didn't even care. Like I saw it. Guess how much money we made each?
I don't even want to guess.
Have a guess.
$10,000
when it was all over.
$10,000 each. How much?
$100.
Oh my God.
$300 left over divided by three, $100.
Oh my God.
Yeah, everything you're thinking is kind of just like showing up is like coming out. It's like, hey, on the tour bus, there's five pizzas at the end of the night. Like that's coming out of your shit somehow. Like everything's coming out of your stuff.
I was sitting next to the roadies on the bus and I'd be like, they'd have this paper and they're filling out these forms and I'd say, what are you doing? They're like, oh, I'm buying a house. Okay, so you've been on like, I think it was like two grand, three grand a week, or whatever, for like 2-3 years. They're buying houses. Yeah. I'm like renting a house. I don't even have a car.
Jesus Christ. Look,
things are good now, but I mean, like you're saying, you know, you can sell millions of records and be unrecouped. You can be on tour in front of 1,000 people and spend it all on crew and hotels and production for the next, so that you get to. Yeah, you know, everyone's like, oh, you got to spend all this money so that you'll get into amphitheaters and you'll be making 300 grand a night. And you're like, let's just make some money now, dude.
You're a married man, I believe now.
Yep, three kids.
But like, you know, earlier, like when in your single days, it had to be funny too, when like women think when they see you on a stage of any kind, what they believe you have. You know, they're like, hey, why don't you fly me over to wherever to meet you and so and so, and you're like, that's like a $400 ticket. And like, yeah, you make the big bucks, and you're like, no, that's about like half my pay for the whole week.
I'll tell you what, that didn't stop me.
You did anyway. That's Ralph. You and Ralph.
That's me. You and I have that in common.
I flew it, like, I remember seeing the breakdown on how much we made at the end of 1 year, and it was like there was like $100,000 left each or something after a year's worth of touring, and I'd spent $80,000 on room service.
Oh shit.
Oh Jesus.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you're young too. That's a young time to live it up. I mean, that's like, who gives a shit at that point? You know what I mean? When you're that young in it, you just want to go like live that party for a minute. You have to. You're
gonna do it or not.
Yeah, that's awesome. By the way, a couple of things I want to get into, but before I do, I know we are gonna be gifted, I guess we'd say, by a live performance of yours. You're going to do something for us. Do you know what song? I know what song would make Jay very happy, but do you have any songs in mind?
Probably Joker, a woman, or is that?
And Jay would be Joker.
It would have been Joker, but I want you to play what you want to play.
Oh, man. I don't know what. You want me to play a song now?
If you could, and then we'll wrap up. You know, we'll ask a couple more questions, but if you could, that would be great.
All right, cool.
I mean, I just saw you play that crazy, the GABA in Brisbane. It looked like, I don't know how many people were there, dude, but it looked like about 50,000 people. Is that about right?
Yeah, about 30,000.
All right, close enough. That was a lot of fucking people. It gives me agita. As someone that's been in COVID lockdown for a year, seeing that many people in a room, in a stadium, freaked me out a little bit.
To get to that gig, they were like, can you do this gig by yourself? And I was like, totally. Can you do it with no crew, no band, no nothing?
And you showed them your amp and you said, I'm good.
I showed them the air. And they said, oh, but you'll be able to bring a guitarist. And I said, look, I don't know if you know, but I sort of play guitar. They're like, you're going to have to fly to Darwin. No, actually, I'm in Byron Bay. I had to fly from Byron to Sydney, Sydney to Brisbane, which is where the gig was in Brisbane, Brisbane to Darwin, stay in Darwin for 2 weeks, then fly from Darwin back to Brisbane.
Jesus, just to be able to do that gig, the one song on that gig.
Yeah, 2 hours up the road.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it would have been 15, 19 hours flying, and you have to stay in the airport to get 2 hours down the road. And then, like, so it was like, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll just rock up with no freaking band. They asked about 2 or 3 people and they were like, I'm not going without a band. I'm not going out without my freaking entourage team. So yeah, that was all the hoo-ha leading up to that. It was,
that's crazy. But it was one song, but it looked amazing. It was such a great thing to see. Cause also as someone who's so missing live performances, you take them now anywhere you get them. And it felt like a really great, genuine moment.
Yeah. And to be in a stadium after like lockdown in front of 30,000 people with fireworks and production, it was just like, this
That's
is
awesome.
It must have been very, very fucking awesome. All right, so what are you going to do for us, sir?
Well, you probably don't want to hear High on My Own Supply.
EDM version
the,
only.
Only if you can do the EDM version.
I don't actually, I've forgotten how. Because when you write all these songs in lockdown, you forget how it goes, you know, after you've, we're not touring. So that's usually how you drum it into your brain.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ready? Beer. I said the Joker is a wanted man that makes a way out across the land. I see him sit down through the cell, and I tell you all the story about the Joker and the thief in the night.
Lying over as you stand. joke around the beaver said. Tell the star about the joke around the beaver tonight. Thank you, Jason Bottom.
That was so good. Oh my God, that was great. Wow.
That was awesome.
Wow, that was just awesome. That's such a good riff.
Thanks.
A couple of things, by the way. First of all, I just love that. It's just great to see.
I'm always so impressed. I think I find myself being such big fans of bands that have a lead singer that also plays lead guitar. So the War on Drugs is like that. I always love Dire Straits is a similar thing. Someone just plays so intricately while doing Kurt Cobain had to stop doing that. They hired a guitar player because he couldn't do it anymore. So it's such an impressive thing, man. That was spectacular.
Thanks, bro. I think that's the only reason I've survived. It was like a Mick and Keith kind of trouble, you know?
That's amazing. On your solo album that's really 8 years old but came out recently, I think Long Way to Go is just such an incredible song. When I heard that, immediately got felt like wow, this song should have been a huge hit. It's such a great song.
Oh, cheers, thanks.
I love it. And then the thing that really made me laugh was of course a lot of people know you were the vocal on Slash's song By the Sword, and in watching videos of you, you do a pretty much spot on impression of Slash.
Oh, really? Okay.
That is impressive. I was impressed by it.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Well,
I'm not going to put you on the spot to do it, but people could Google go look on the YouTube video. And if you just put your name and Slash impression, I was like, oh yeah, that pretty much, I've heard Slash talk enough times. Say that sounds like him. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I gotta learn how to do the guitar impression next.
Exactly. And then Jay, you may not know this, but Andrew kind of put out fighting words for you being a Philly boy, because Wolf Mother has way more followers on Bands in Town than Hall & Oates. So he said, technically, that means Wolf Mother is more famous than Hall & Oates.
Oh, listen, I'll accept that in today's world, for goddamn sure.
That's amazing you picked up on that, because, we're probably of the same generation. Maybe I'm a bit older, but bands like that, you would just think they were freaking massive, Hall & Oates. And you look at these stats, and sounds like I'm blowing my own horn, but it does trip you out when you've got bigger numbers at Hall & Oates.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It is pretty cool. But also, I would imagine, because your fan base skews much younger than Hall & Oates fan base, so they don't probably know Spotify. Like when Jay and I first started this.
Correct.
What'd you say?
In other words, it's incorrect.
I guess it's all perspective.
It's a theoretical thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's like half of their fans probably don't know how to freaking turn on a phone, let alone sign up when it is in town.
When Jay and I
they have no idea how to buy tickets online. Yeah. Like, when you work this crazy thing?
When Jay and I first started this podcast, I was still doing my radio show, and the show at the time was still on about 50 stations in America, and I thought I would get a bunch of them to come over to the podcast, and then realized, well, wait a minute, if you're still listening to a radio station in 2014, you don't know how to listen to a podcast. Why does that bother you, Jay?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is because you were playing the music of Tesla. That's why it wasn't hitting people today, Ralph.
The show did well. What are you talking about?
I love Tesla.
Just mentioned Hall & Oates.
Right.
All right, so
it's an adjustment, you know, and that's the thing, when you've been around for a while, it's like, oh, we had 1 million people on MySpace and now we've got 50,000 on Instagram, and there's always going to be a new platform that you're going to have to catch up on, because your audience, if you've been around for 15 years or, whatever,
it's crazy. It's crazy when
that's my excuse.
It's funny when social media happens on your career, which it did to you for sure. It did to me, but having to learn that stuff, I was listening to something on SiriusXM the other day, and the DJ was saying, oh, you got to follow Bryan Adams on Instagram. He's got great stuff. He goes, you could follow him on Twitter too, but his Twitter is just all like it ends up being attachments to his Instagram or something. And I was like, yeah, Bryan Adams doesn't have a good social media person. like he has no idea how to do it. It's just like an older guy now just fidgeting around and goes, is this work? Is this how it goes?
Back, I had a manager in New York who was based in New York, and I went into their office, I think around 2011 or 10. I was like, man, you guys should employ someone just to do social media. Hey, like, you should just start promoting stuff on Facebook and Twitter. And they're like, you're fucking crazy, dude. Shut the hell up.
Wow.
And then I have to pay. I pay decent money to a company for every. So I pay like a monthly fee, and they do all my social media, make sure that stuff is right. It's that important. It's so ridiculous. And I wish it wasn't. When I started doing comedy, it was you just did it. You just did stand up and acquired your fans through live performance.
Same thing with bands. You were just acquire your fans through live performance.
Live performance. Now you have to. Now you have to reach out and bring it to the people.
I mean, the first thing I do when someone is proposed to come on SDR, if I don't know who they are, the first thing I do is go see how many followers they have. I mean, before I even listen to their music or check out who they are, I just say, let me just see how popular they are. And I hate that I think that way. I shouldn't think that way.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where we are right now.
Yeah. And did you used to have a BlackBerry?
I had a BlackBerry Curve. I love the BlackBerry. That was probably the best built phone out of all the phones, I think. Yeah.
Do you remember it was like an elitist thing? It was like, I'm sending an email on the plane before it takes off.
No, BBM. Remember the BBMs?
The BBMs were great. Messages. I love the BBM because that was
the flip thing.
No, BBM was BlackBerry's messenger. It's before iPhone Messenger. And BBM let you talk to other BlackBerry people immediately. It was incredible. It was incredible.
And that was all confidential too, wasn't it? It was like,
yeah. And you said the rollerball. All defunct now. Doesn't even exist. I think BlackBerry makes things besides phones now.
Yeah, I was in the rollerball business for a while. Unfortunately, it went defunct.
So Ralph invested. Ralph laid heavy on rollerballs.
Rollerball heavy. Yeah. So before we wrap, and we're going to do plugs and stuff, you said there's a chance you have the new album recorded and you're debating if you're just going to hit the button and it goes to Spotify or if you're going to do something with the record label. Or have you made that decision?
I'm getting to that spot. I think talking to you has kind of reaffirmed it, like the fact that you know anything about what I've been doing. Because, yeah, I mean, I think the awareness is improving when you do things yourself. Like maybe the first time I put out a record without a record label was 2015, and you could go on tour and people are like, have you put out a record? And you're like, yep. Yeah.
Well, that's how you defeat now like the record labels though in that way, because also what happened when you first signed record deals, they had to do your promotion. Like now you are, you know, again, like a click away from reaching out to everybody who follows you and wants to know what you're coming out with. Like you have a direct line to them more than the label even.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so in your hands.
The lights
your light went out again.
Well, you know, when you sign with a record label these days, or the last time I put out Victorious with a label in the States, and they're like, we want your Instagram, we want your Facebook, we want your mailing list, we want everything. You go, so you want something from me?
Yeah, exactly.
What it used to be like, you're going
right.
to expand our fan base. And it like, and we did all these premieres, like we were shooting all this stuff around LA, and I was like, oh, is this going to go on like a premiere on Google, or is this going to go on, you know, like back on the first record, it'd be like, this is a premiere on Amazon at some studio in Santa Monica. And this is like, oh no, we're going to put this on your Facebook.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's in a way, as much as there's some comfort in having a big record label to back you, I think there's far more comfort in knowing that you are going to live and die by your own decisions and have complete creative freedom to do what you want.
And then what happens, they have to circle back around and pick you up for more. You know, the Andrew Schultz is a comedian here in New York, and he was just doing monologues on YouTube himself. He was doing these monologues that he edited himself, and, you know, he had his crew, like his own people, put it all together and then got picked up. They picked it up on Netflix just from his own production of doing himself. And then, but he kind of holds, you own your own product. Like you hold all the cards yourself. It's much better. If again, if you can get it to the people, that's always the concern. How to make sure people listen to it.
that's when it was really frustrating when, like, they say, oh, can you put up your new single on Instagram? You're like, yeah, okay, I'll put up the new single. And then your account gets blocked because there's a licensing.
Yeah.
We had Dee Snider. You know, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, he did a season of his podcast on the network, and he couldn't get clearance on YouTube for his own songs to be played on his own show. And he said, it's my song. I can't. Let me. I'm giving you the.
On the radio show on Bonfire, Ralph Soder, my co-host on that show, has a very deep voice, and jokingly on the show, karaoke sang Crash Test Dummies. And his voice is just so deep and sounds like that guy that we got flagged for playing the licensed songs. Like, no, he was just singing it.
That's
it was
really
like,
funny.
Yeah, he was just like, whatever that thing reads, the algorithm, it just read that his, it was that we were stealing.
That is really, really funny. It doesn't use BDS anymore. They use some other algorithm.
We had like a lawyer in the States, like an expensive lawyer who was taking 5% of. The gross of Wolf Mother, like debating with the lawyer at Universal about a freaking post on Instagram that's free.
Yeah.
Man, like
that's fucking crazy. That is very crazy.
You know, like we're trying to get it out there, but I think over the last 5 years, it's been a sort of adjustment for everyone. Right. Yeah, but. You know, even now with streaming, the first we've put two performances up on YouTube. I don't know if you saw that. We shot on a rooftop.
On the rooftop, it was great. Yeah, it was really cool.
I called up a guy locally in Lismore. I said, how much does it cost to do a live stream performance? He goes, $20,000.
Really?
$20,000?
That's getting hosed. You're getting hosed.
And like, you know, and now I've bought the Black Magic thing for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was $1,000, and you can do a 5-camera angle live stream out of your Pro Tools unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a lot.
Even now, by the way, Andrew, there's cheaper options than the Black Magic. There's ways to do it for hundreds of dollars to do. Like it just, so what's going to happen is every year, cameras get cheaper, cable, everything. Like we used to just use 720 cameras, then 1080 came cheap enough. Now 4K is cheap enough. So it's just going to happen every couple of years. Every price moves down to the next level when the 8K camera
and everything
comes
out. gets smaller and more suited for the home.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is crazy. I mean, I've told the story a bunch of times, but when we started the network, it wasn't a Black Magic at the time. It was only a TriCaster that was like $10,000, and I found online a card that plugs in your computer that allowed for 5 inputs, right? But it came with only Japanese instructions. Because I bought it online and I used Google Translate to get the link for the drivers so I could get it working on my computer. But it cost $600 versus thousands of dollars. And our first studio was built that way.
Well, just so you know, Shannon's got 5 inputs and she's free. Come on.
Five?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, let's count them.
Butt, puss, mouth, nostrils.
Why not ears? Why not ears?
We switched over to the Howard Stern show.
All right, so let's do the first, Shannon. We're going to hit the first right now.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. And we end the show every week by asking your first experience with all three. And we start with concert. And by that, we also want to say, the one you went to on your own volition, because sometimes if it's one that someone dragged you to, it's not really your own vibe.
So what if you like went to your first concert, got drugged and had sex at the same time?
I wish. If that's true, you are the coolest man on the planet.
It almost happened once. It was almost one person.
Yeah, we had a couple of twos, but never a three.
The first gig I paid for was Bob Dylan at the Entertainment Center in Brisbane. And
that's great.
The guy... I met up with a friend from high school who was into Bob Dylan. And the guy sitting next to me, like gave the finger to Dylan and walked out after 3 songs.
Really?
Really?
And I think I saw Bob Dylan like a year or two ago, and it's the same thing. It's like, change the arrangement of the songs, change the key, change the don't sing any of the vocal melodies. And I kind of love it that someone can get away with that.
Right. They're just doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people complain about Dylan.
How old were you for that Bob Dylan concert?
That was, I think I was 17 or 16 or 17.
Were you already playing guitar at that point?
Yeah. I used to play flamenco guitar when I was 15.
Really? That's so difficult, too.
I still got the first guitar that I bought off the guy who I learned from. Bought it off him for $300, and he said, if you ever sell it, you have to sell it back to me for the same price.
Really? Do you still know the guy?
I don't know him, but I've still got the guitar.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's great. There was once, I can't think of the name of the band, but there was a metal band that incorporated flamenco guitar, and it was so fucking cool. You don't really hear rock and flamenco too often, but it was great. It was one of the coolest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, you know, when we started Wolfmother, like, I didn't own an electric guitar.
Oh, wow.
I was borrowing the bass player's guitar.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I got soft. Yeah.
Now, the first drug you ever did, ideally after pot. Unless pot wasn't the first drug you ever did.
We were. Well, yeah, of course, that was
not
the first.
Always. But like, okay. Yeah.
No, I wasn't that crazy, but stepping it up from there, I think I used to also be a photographer before I started music, and there's another photographer guy who went out one night in Sydney. He's like, Andrew, I've got this stuff, it's called a cocaine, and it just gives you a little buzz. It's got a really nice feeling. And we're, you know, a couple of us are gonna go out on Friday night. We're just gonna have make you more talkative. And I was like, he was such a meek. It was like a. Do you have a show? Have you seen Postman Pat?
No, I don't know that show.
Like post, it was like this English, softly spoken guy, and I thought, this guy is so like down to earth and friendly. There can't be anything wrong with this thing.
Meanwhile, he's introducing you to the devil.
But
did you like it?
You know, it didn't really do much for me the first time. I just remember the next day I used to do like chin-ups and jog around the park down at the Oval in Sydney. And I was like, I can't exercise. I can't. Like, this is different to a hangover. This has gone deep.
Well, you know the solution for that, Andrew. More coke. You start hauling ass around that thing.
Yep. You do 100 pull-ups, no problem. And then the first time you had sex?
Well, that was at a friend of mine's birthday party, Tina Tara Borelli. I think she lives in Perth now. She is a nice girl, but she had this friend. Her name was Amber Gordon.
And, I love that you're giving last names, by the way. It makes me really happy.
That's always the best in stories.
Yeah, I should. But I think I tried it on with about two or three girls that night.
And then it finally worked on one of them.
But I didn't quite know what, like, how the procedure.
The third time was the charm. You finally got it in right.
I got too excited. So I needed another rerun. So, I think we were all sleeping in the same bedroom. There's like freaking five people, and
that's crazy. How old were you then?
I feel sorry for the freaking girl who's next to us.
How old were you?
16.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up, dude. You're just fucking
wrap
awesome.
It up after that, mate, come on. Personal information here.
The rock star question, Ralph.
Oh yeah, you know what? I don't think Jay's been on for one of those. So when we had Gilby Clark, oh no, you are. It was Gilby Clark. When Gilby Clark was on. He suggested that we use the term rock star sex, which was the first time you had sex because you were a rock star. Like, you know, the girl followed you to your dressing room.
Just like the craziest, like, it's like, hey, I don't care what your last name is. I'm blowing you.
Yeah. well, I do remember that time. And I remember a guy from another band, like, he was looking at me from across the bar. And of course, I was attracting, let's just say, girls who wouldn't usually talk to me. And that kind of, you know, and he says to me, he goes, "Oh, that's the night you became a rock star."
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, he was like looking at me and I'm like, far out. Yeah. I mean, I've given names away on the previous story, so I'm not going to any more details. And,
all right. So now, are there any like last minute play, anything you want to plug, anything you want to promote when we wrap this up?
Okay. We just put out our merch store went online.
So that's store.wolfmother.com.
And we got a lot of criticism from our US fans because they thought it was $50 US for a t-shirt. It's $50 Australian, which is, I think, $38 US.
Fair enough. But
might drop the... What do you guys charge for a t-shirt?
We have a merch company. We charge $25 for t-shirts. Base t-shirt, depending on the shirt, though. If it's got more than one placement, it could be a
40-something hoodie.
Or we charge about $50 for a hoodie.
So you did a deal with like some big merch company.
We actually print all our own merch.
Yeah, they do. They have their own merch company. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've done two or three deals with merch companies, and it's better to do it yourself, I think.
Yeah, we do it ourselves. We print in-house. We actually have our own merch in-house for the network.
Yeah, because it's got your style and your design and.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's online, and it's got a few records on there, and old first EP, and hoodies, and solo record jumpers, and stuff like that. And we've got both of our last live stream performances on YouTube. The one that we played a rooftop up at the Gold Coast with like drone footage flying over the top of the 42nd level of this building. And you can see the ocean. It's like, so if you want to, you know, if you want to see 11 people in Australia, I think they're all at that gig.
Yeah.
Thing that day.
And also, I think people should go see that Gabby show, that what they call the Gabba, rather. The Gabba show. That it's really worth watching because it felt great to see a real, just cool event again. It just, you don't see that right now. You can't see that right now.
Oh, massive production. Helicopter shots over a stadium, you know, fireworks everywhere. It was amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing. All right, Jay, your plugs?
BigJComedy.com. I got a bunch of live dates coming up, actually. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. San Antonio, Texas, I believe I'm coming to you. Tampa, Florida. West Palm. Just down the lookout. Kansas City. I have a bunch of dates coming up. So go to BigJComedy.com, get tickets for all of that. Watch my Netflix special. Watch my Comedy Central special.
And
Bonfire coming back really soon.
Are you? So you're doing shows.
Certain states allow it.
They're limited capacity. I just did a theater in Austin, Texas, but it's a 1,500 seat theater, but they're only allowed to do 25% capacity. So it's able to make some money still, but nothing on the level at all. It's just kind of like getting through until things open.
But what about Florida? Is Florida fully open or not? It's still limited.
I think the club will limit just for the sake of safety themselves, but I don't think they have to. I think they can go full tilt. So it's, I just did Nashville 2 weekends ago and it was a half capacity. So it still looks nice in there. Like it looks decent. They finagle it to make it look as good as possible.
But they can't put people right next to each other.
I did Arizona, Phoenix. They didn't give a shit. 400 capacity. 400 people.
403 people.
I stayed in the green room and went on stage and went right back in the green room. everyone.
Just another question. Can you cross all the states?
You can cross all the states. International, I think, was going to be where they canceled most international stuff I had anyway, though. Yeah. I was supposed to be at the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival. That's fully canceled. We canceled our festival, Skankfest, so.
You can also, by the way, Andrew.
I don't know. I don't think Melbourne is happening this year. Melbourne Festival is a big one.
You can drive, Andrew, from any state to any state. You could drive. There's no restriction. But if you're flying, they restrict you.
Yeah. Well, what we've had here is all the states shut down. You know, there's like border. You know, and you get $20,000 fine if you cross the border.
Yeah, they're not doing that here at all. Here, like, especially where we all live in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are so intermingled. There's just no way they could prevent it. It's just not.
Yeah, people work. People have to work in each one.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
If you got tired of the lockdown scenario, you could just drive to
a state that doesn't have a lockdown, right?
For sure. In fact, not even that, not a lockdown, but I did that two times during this whole thing. Just go like even just upstate, or yeah, like to Pennsylvania, we went and just get like a place because yeah, they don't restrict you at all. But like, there's definitely they'd like you to quarantine if you go anywhere for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but they're not forcing it on anyone. It's just it's kind of weird, and in some states maybe are more restrictive than others, but in general, it's kind of like. We kind of going on the honor system.
New York's trying to do the right thing, for yeah. It seems.
All right, Shannon, your plugs?
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And sometimes I swipe guests from the SDR show. So next week's The Thing Is Ding will be featuring Jim Florentine and Luke Spiller of The Struts.
Yeah, you love to swipe the SDR guests. I love it. Andrew, do you believe in ghosts at all?
Not really. Okay. I mean, people say that there's been funny. I mean, I'd say energy. Like, you can kind of go into some places and go, oh man, some heavy stuff's happened here. Like,
right. That I agree with 100%.
But I don't know about I wouldn't be confident enough to say there's a ghost here.
Right. I appreciate that. All right. Before I give my last plugs, Ani, can you turn your camera on and show the SDR hoodie, please? If she's there, did she fall?
Absolutely.
Oh, there we go. Ani, sporting the hoodie. Raise it up a little bit. You go to podcastmerch.com/SDR. And there's a bunch of SDR merch. We never promote our merch. So there's some cool stuff there. Jay was sporting the other SDR one, the less offensive option that just says SDR last week. So just go to podcastbirth.com/SDR. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast about health and wellness is called Good Sugar. You can look up the Good Sugar podcast with me and Marcus. And Andrew, you were just fucking awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of
the
show.
Great to meet you, man.
Yeah. And I love that solo album. I was listening to it a lot recently this past week. And just thank you so much for being a part of the show. And we always end the show with a song of the week. And just because it made me so happy that you spent $100 for the remix, let's do High on My Own Supply, the Fiverr version, and we'll add that to our Spotify playlist. And, dude, thank you so much for being a part of the show, and we'll see you next week on the SDR show.
Thanks, to a quick fix that'll make me feel alive. Everyone's looking for gratification. Sweeping across every continent and every nation. I'm high on my own supply, so easy to satisfy. I'm high on my own supply, watching the world go by.
Listening to the SDR show.